This is Robert Stark. I'm joined here with Robert Parker. He is a new retro wave musician based out of Sweden. Robert, it is great having you on the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And I'm also joined here with my co-host, Pilliter.
Hi, Robert Parker.
Hi, nice to meet you.
So, the new retrowave genre, it's how did you originally get interested in this genre? It's been around, I think it became popular around 2010 or a little bit before that.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, I've made music for about 20 years now. I started out in the 90s with tracker music, sounded more like techno back then, mostly just for myself and my friends. And around 2009, 2010, I started to make it more more often for myself. Started to really learn how to use a digital audio workstation. And I really got into analog synths, so I started experimenting with it. When I started out, started to hear the other artists. For example, a lot of people, they say that they got inspired by the movie Drive, but I hadn't seen it at the time, to be honest. So I was experimenting a lot with like combining orchestral stuff with synthesizers and so on, and I sort of automatically came into the 80s sound just because of the pure sound of the synthesizers. I mean, a lot of like the Roland Juno 106 used a lot to begin with. It's you don't even have to use presets, you can just start out with it and it sort of sounds 80s immediately. So I sort of got led into the sound by the synthesizers, to be honest.
Were you nostalgic for growing up in the 80s, or did you get interested in the 80s music later on?
Yeah, of course. I was nostalgic. I mean, I'm born in 1980, so I most certainly remember a lot of the years of the 80s, especially the last years. The musical style sort of spilled over a few years in the 90s as well. So, yeah, that's definitely a lot of, my musical heritage, so to speak, yeah.
Who are your favorite of the original 80s artists and that influenced you the most?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, growing up in Sweden in the 1980s, it's a little bit hard to explain, actually, but the media outlet was quite limited back then. We had two TV channels until 1987 and four radio channels, all run by the government. So the musical influences, they were very limited. I mean, we started having... To be honest, this is maybe hard to believe, but we started to have commercial radio and TV in Sweden in 1987, 88, 89. And it's actually from that start that all these new influences started coming in. And of course, I started school back then, everyone was sort of washed over with this sudden huge amount of mainly American pop culture. My older siblings had a lot of Pink Floyd, Wham, Duran Duran, those kind of artists. So that's the first. That's basically the first music I heard. Maybe it's not a big inspiration nowadays in my music, but it was my first sort of impressions of of that kind of style.
I know Germany had like the Neue Deutsche Welle, like bands like Alphaville. Was there an equivalent in Sweden?
Yeah, definitely. And Alphaville was really big in Sweden back then. And they had had sort of quite a huge revival in Sweden in the end of the 90s too. So a lot of the 80s sounds, that's why that's why I meant about this spillover of the style in the 90s, because since we sort of got it a little bit late in Sweden, we sort of held on to it quite late in the 90s as well, especially those kind of sounds like Alphaville and those sort of Italo disco inspired more low budget production kind of bands like maybe Alphaville was part of.
Are you a fan of Italo disco?
No, I don't dislike it, but I never sort of listen to it at home or anything like that. It's not my go-to music to listen to. It's a great source of inspiration, and it's sometimes really nice on the dance floor, but I don't have any records at home or anything like that. But I wouldn't say I dislike it. It's not like that, but maybe I like to listen to music that sort of demands a little bit more from the listener. Italo disco has a lot of great sounds. The sound palette and the feeling is great. But when I listen to music, no, I don't really listen to pure Italo. No.
We had on the show Brad Sinclair. He is a Eurobeat musician who took Italo disco very fast and kind of sped it. And Eurobeat is really popular in Japan. And that's kind of, it's very similar to Italo, but imagine it being fast and more trance-like and having the classical Japanese enka touch to it. Certainly, there's definitely Japanese influence within your music. And compared to Eurobeat or even, you know, Italo disco's evolution today, I do think there is this kind of Asian influence within music instead of just the 80s nostalgia.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree, and I mean that also comes into like the French house era. The French pop culture was quite early inspired by anime and those kind of sounds as well. So yeah, it sort of blends together. Yeah,
I'm thinking of Daft Punk's Interstellar 5555 with Renji Matsumoto and that whole advent that happens.
Yeah. yeah, exactly. Yeah, I know what you mean.
I've also noticed a lot of the new retrowave illustrations are inspired by Japanese culture and like futuristic cities of like Tokyo in the 80s.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, a lot of the worlds that people want to build are like the kind of universe they want to be have this music in. It's I guess a lot of people have this retro futuristic vision, and I mean I guess Japan was best in the 1980s imagining these both the more dystopian ones and the more utopian ones, to be honest. They sort of took the European fantasies and made them much more interesting.
I know Florian Renner, who's the German illustrator, he's done work for you, but he's also done these animations of like these futuristic cities. Can you talk about the work Florian Renner has done for your album Crystal City and his work?
Yeah. I'm very glad he has decided to do the artwork for my last two releases. I actually found out about his stuff just before he did this DeLorean animation that were used in the Miami Nights music video. He had sort of a portfolio online with a lot of nice animations and illustrations of retro-futuristic mechanical factories, manufacturing things, and a lot of other illustrations as well. So I contacted him several years ago for the first time, actually, and said, if you ever have any time for doing artwork or a video or something, please contact me. And he said, yeah, I'm busy at the moment, but maybe in 6 months or something. And I decided that, like, hell, I'm going to wait when he's available, because I really would like him to do the artwork for Crystal City. And then when he got in touch in after summer in 2015, actually, he said, yeah, I'm available now. Yeah, sure. Okay. So, and I was, I had gone quite far with the Crystal City back then. So it was a lucky coincidence that I was well underway with the album and he was available. So that's how we got in touch. And I gave him totally free hands. I told him that I sent him all my music, and I said, this is sort of the mood for the album, but please you. I gave him maybe a few keywords just to what I was thinking about, but I said to him, have fun and do what you like, and I mean, what you feel is inspiring, because then I'm sure that that you will make something that you enjoy the most. So then he did this animation with his car, the teaser video for the album, and also the artwork at the same time.
Did Alexei Arrico design the poster for the chiptune and retrowave party that was featured on if it was an album or an event?
Yeah, that was the sort of a chiptune retrowave mini festival or concert evening in St. Petersburg. I think that's what you were referring to, right?
That's the one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's right. I had no influence over that illustration, but I really like it. It's very cool.
Is there a larger new retro wave scene in Europe than in America?
That's a good question, because when I look at the statistics from SoundCloud, Spotify, and the sales I'm doing, it's about 40% United States and 40% Russia and Europe. So the main part is both the streaming is from the United States, and the rest is from Europe. So I would say it's quite equal, but the live scene seems to be different, because I've played in Canada, in Australia, different parts of Europe, and in Russia. But so far, it has never happened in the United States, and I only think that Perturbator and Carpenter Brut, I think that those are the only, from the scene, if you would call it that, those are the only one who has been over to the States to play live. So I guess it's quite equally distributed over the Western world, the listeners, but the live scene is a little bit more vibrant in Europe, at least right now. Who knows what will happen?
With the audience and a fan base for New Retrowave, would you say they're mostly people who grew up in the 80s and were nostalgic, or are there also a lot of younger people who were born in the 90s and even more recently who are fans as well, or it's a combination of both?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because I have seen a shift in that the last year, to be honest. When I started out and people were writing about my music maybe four years ago, it was really obvious that most listeners were in my age. They had at least experienced a part of the 80s, and they were a little bit older, if you would like, and wanted to have sort of a nostalgic experience of it. And those were the... I started playing live 3 years ago. That was definitely the range of the age of the visitors, like 80% guys in the early 30s. But my last three live shows,
I'm 31, so that's about my age probably.
Yeah, exactly. But in my last three live shows, there have been like an equal distribution of boys and girls, and more people in their early 20s, definitely. So there's been a shift in the age, at least if I look at the people going to the live shows. Those people are younger now than 3 years ago.
Have you ever seen the movie Howard the Duck?
No, I have no idea what that movie is.
Okay, it's an American about a guy in a duck costume, and he's making music in his girlfriend's bedroom, and there he has a Roland TR-707 in there, and it's kind of geeky.
Cool. Yeah, I have that drum machine. I love it.
And I see that there's a picture on the Discogs page of with a Juno and one holding the TR-707 behind a flashy Back to the Future car.
Yeah, that's right. That's Wave Shaper and me at a photo shoot a few years ago. Yeah, I still use that the Roland Juno synth. I sold it year ago, but the 707 because I bought a Juno 60. That sounds better. But I still have the 707 and I still use it almost every time I do something, and I bring it to all my live shows because it's so great in improvising stuff live. I played in Berlin this Friday. I used it this Friday as well. I love it. I need to buy another one.
Another one, yeah, the blue one, the 727, if you want to make more of the Latin noises. Right.
Yeah, I just need to buy another one if mine would break down because I would be devastated.
You're performing in March with College and Electric Youth?
I'm performing with College and with Waveshaper. Electric Youth, they are not coming along to that live show, unfortunately.
They're kind of put together because New Retrowave is kind of a niche audience, but that film Drive, the collaboration between them, was sort of their exposure to the masses.
Yeah, yeah, I guess so. That's still sort of a starting point for a lot of people, and I guess it's a good starting point because you have both the sort of darker sound from Kavinsky in there, and also the sort of the softer stuff with by College and Electric Youth. So yeah, I guess it's still how do you say it's still an important component in the scene, I guess, that movie.
What is the event that you're performing at with College? That's in Sweden in March.
Yeah, that's right. That's a new club concept called Neon. It's supposed to be sort of an ongoing event. There is I'm playing with College and Wave Shaper in March 18 in Stockholm, and then 2 days later they have another show in Copenhagen. And then College is playing with Dynatron and Daniel Deluxe. And the plan is for the club to keep this going in other European countries as well. So this is sort of a pilot test, if you like, to see how it works, I guess.
I like some of the old Vaporwave and, well, not old. I do like the Vaporwave and Italo Disco music that's happening. And you see that it's this whole resurrection happening at the moment. And it's right now very trendy to emulate music 20 or 30 years prior. Though I do think as well that technology is becoming more digital compared to analog, where it's so easy to open up Reason 9 and then make a song through that with samples. Compared to if you would buy expensive instruments and record them through an 8-track or interface, not everyone can afford that. And I think like the genre of Vaporwave gets samples down and they slow it and they just call it a day and that's their song. And then they make so much income from that compared to if you would, I have like a Roland Boutique. I have a TB-03 and a TR-09. I have to make some Acid House songs. But at the end of the day, I could do the same for Reason 9, less than that, you know?
Yeah.
You have your next album is going to be released. It's called Awakening, and this is going to be released next month in February by Laserdiscs Records.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I made a promise to them a long time ago, long before my new Retrowave release, that we would do something together. And yeah, I want to keep my promises, so I've been working for quite a long time. I started out about a year ago with doing tracks, and I had sort of a finished EP at the end of the summer. But then when I listened to it a few weeks later, I was like, no, I'm not satisfied enough. So I started working the entire fall, redoing, replacing tracks, and started out again. So in November, I was satisfied. And by then, I had already got the artwork from Florian Renner, actually, because I sent him sort of the sound palette, the sort of sound I wanted to have a few months earlier. So he finished real fast with the artwork, and I got so inspired by the artwork, so I sort of changed the sound a little bit after I got the artwork, to be honest. But yeah, I'm really satisfied with this. It's a smaller release. I would say it's a maxi EP or a mini album. It's 6 tracks long. It's a little bit more than half an hour in length. So technically, Spotify and all the other digital distributors, they sort of count it as an album. I would say it's a maxi EP or mini album. But I was in Vienna in December and I met Marek Kratzner. He's the CEO of Electronic Purification Records, and he has been distributing vinyls for a year now for other artists like Meteor and Power Nerd and a few other synthwave artists. And we decided that he was going to release a repress of Crystal City and also release my new album on vinyl. So we will release that during spring together with the digital release and the 1 year anniversary of Crystal City.
How do you kind of work out how the aesthetics of the illustrations goes with each album? I know the new one, Awakening, is also by Florian Renner, but it has a very different feeling than the other one, Crystal City. And this one does have more, I've noticed a little bit of an anime influence.
Yeah, exactly.
I did not see the cover yet, actually. And
Yeah, it's it was the same thing, actually. I always tend to, I want to change my sound a little bit in order to still have fun by myself. it was the same thing when I asked Florian to do the cover. I said to him that here's the sound, and here's a few keywords that I'm sort of imagining this to be, like sort of a little bit more cyberpunk feeling, but please, you can do whatever you like if you want to do some sort of 3D airbrush thing or do whatever you like. And he at the time when we discussed this, Daft Punk released this track with The Weeknd, and he's sitting down it's a red background. He's sitting down. It's sort of a picture taken in front of him. And Florian was very inspired by this sort of very limited color palette. So he used that as an inspiration for the artwork, actually.
Now, when I see the picture, I'm looking at two album arts now from your Awakening. Mm-hmm. And there's another album by Victor Love called Technomancy. They worked with KMFDM, and it has that same kind of cyberpunk feel. It seems to me that cyberpunk is making this comeback, or at least this Akira Tetsuo machine cyber thing.
Oh, that does remind me of Akira.
You know? Mm. That's what I'm getting that vibe from, and that's really popular at the moment.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I guess Florian was inspired by that sort of universe, yeah.
Of like a cyberpunk, and cyberpunk has a more kind of a darker, like a film noir feel to it. Then you have the vaporwave, which is a lot more kind of a light. And I see that with new retrowave, some music is maybe darker, like Kavinsky, and some of it is more light and upbeat.
Mm. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's you can definitely divide the sort of synthwave / retrowave genre into two directions, the more lighter the more darker aspects. Yeah.
With the club you were mentioning in Sweden that's going for a new retrowave theme, have they sort of gone for designing the club in that new retrowave aesthetic, like the dark and the kind of like pink and turquoise neon?
Yeah, I don't know how they will do the interior design of the club. That will be very interesting. What I've heard, they will be focusing a lot of the right lighting and the right overall aesthetics. It's very interesting. We went from zero to two different synthwave clubs in Stockholm in just a few months. There also another one started out a few months ago called VHS Vision, and they were going all in with this sort of aesthetics. They have a lot of fat TV screens with VCR players showing old 80s movies, and they are also having live shows with those artists. I guess it will be some sort of that in that neighborhood. It's definitely a mix, this neon club, because we both have me, which is maybe in the middle of this sort of light spectrum. I guess I'm in the middle of it. And Wave Shaper, who is definitely a little bit more harder sound, and College, which is a little bit more lighter. So I think they want to blend the different kind of influences.
There's a new retro wave which has like the logo with like the pyramid and the new retro wave. Is that just a site for fans, or is that an official company that produces music?
Yeah, exactly. They are actually divided into two parts. They started out as just New Retro Wave, which was a sort of a fan site. They were uploading on a YouTube channel, and they have a Facebook site. And 2 years ago, they started New Retro Wave Records, and that's a registered American company. They are Crystal City was released on that label, and a lot of other artists as well. So it's the same people behind it, but they are dividing the releases and sort of the fan account into two different parts.
Are you a fan of Alon Brax and Fred Folke?
Yes.
So I think of Crystal City. I'm thinking of that one record by them called Crystal City. I love Vulture Records, by the way.
Yeah, that's exactly why I named the record that, because those are one of my biggest inspirations. And it's not spelled the same way. They actually, Alon Brax and Fred Folke, they spell it with a C-H. But that's the reason why I named the album Crystal City, because that was a tribute to the late 90s, early 2000 Alon Brax, Fred Folke inspirations. Yeah,
I love that whole album too. I think I had the Uppercuts compilation album, and I love those tracks from Most Wanted and the classic song Intro. I mean, yes, there's a lot of his work is so underrated, and I think to myself that at one point in time he was one third of Stardust, and then Tom went to go form Daft Punk, and I love Benjamin Diamond. Benjamin Diamond still makes music. Have you been caught up with him lately, or have?
No, I haven't. But you can definitely send me some tips.
I know a lot of the new retrowave videos use footage from films. Some of them are the official videos, and then also the fans make their own videos with footage. Like one of my favorite ones is the Miami Nights, where they have the scene of the nightclub from Scarface with like the Roman, kind of the Roman theme. Do you have like a particular favorite film that you either like to use or you like to see in videos?
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah, there are a lot of 80s movies that I like. Of course, I like both the more sci-fi stuff and the more. Sometimes I can have a period that I'm really into like a sort of Pretty in Pink, Breakfast Club sort of mood, and sometimes it's more the Lost Boys kind of mood. So I was never into Star Wars and that franchise. That never really sort of spoke to me, to be honest. It's more those smaller productions that I liked.
I know the film Tron really influenced New Retrowave aesthetics.
Yeah, I haven't seen it, to be honest. You know, the first Tron movie, I haven't seen it. I've seen pictures from it, and I'm well familiar with the aesthetics. But I should definitely see it.
Yeah. What do you think about Atari Teenage Riot? Because you were announcing a booking agency you were with, and they have bands like Justice, Marauder, Kavinsky, and all of a sudden, what? Atari Teenage Riot? What? That's completely different in genre sound.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they have, I just mentioned them because, yeah, I know, they are much more hardcore. This booking agency, they they have a lot of different things going on at the same time. Just 1 month ago, they brought here Justice for a small gig in December. It was really interesting because it was at a really small club in Stockholm. They just announced it one day, and then the gig was the it was a DJ set, but anyway. And they the next day they it sort of happened, and they have also have gone from that, and they have also done a few years ago they did a local Swedish tour with Inner Circle, you know, that a la 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 long, you know.
Yeah.
That kind of so they have been into a lot of different genres. Nowadays they are mostly into electronic music, and they have a very in-depth cooperation with the French embassy, because they have a lot of sort of cultural exchanges. France is much more much better than Sweden in supporting small acts. They have a huge budget set aside for supporting live acts, live shows, and cultural exchanges, like getting French artists to other countries. So both Justice and smaller French artists are coming here regularly through my booking agency because of this cooperation. So nowadays they are more doing doing electronic stuff, both softer stuff and also Atari Teenage Riot.
Yeah, I had those albums growing up too, and I was really influenced from the whole digital hardcore scene, and I was making my own digital hardcore music when I was like 17, 18, and I still am influenced by that.
The one you did with Andy Milonakis and Miami Nights?
Well, I did a mashup recently. Oh, I did a mashup like a few years ago where I got Miami Nights 1984 and made my Andy Milonakis rap on it, and that got some hits on YouTube, actually. It was like 20,000 views, and people liked it, and they thought, who's the rapper? I'm like, well, it's this comedian, Andy Milonakis. And everyone thought it was his track when it was actually Miami Nights or something. Or
like. Cool. Yeah, that's how new things are born, that you sort of mash up stuff like that.
When people do that, like, with these YouTube videos, are you concerned about people, like, the artists not getting the revenue? Or do you see it as a good thing that they're getting the music out there?
Yeah, that's a good question. With New Retrowave, that's very. They are very transparent. I get a monthly record of all the sales, digital sales. They have an agreement with the artist that the YouTube incomes they have, which are probably quite substantial, is never a part of the agreement with the artists. So when it comes to YouTube, they get an income, and the artists get their stuff out there. But for every release, they have been very professional, and I get a very, we split everything 50-50. I get a very transparent and detailed print of all the sales. So for me, that's perfectly fine. I know that a lot of channels are uploading my stuff without asking, but to be honest, I mean, the minute I release something digitally, it's out there anyway, so I would never, I'm not that kind of guy that I would try to start to force them to take down something. Maybe if they would use it in a very, if the imagery they would use is very disturbing in some way, maybe, but otherwise, if people put up fan videos and stuff, that's just cool, I guess. I'm not really I'm not really an angry guy.
Huh. I guess some people are big on like suing about stuff like that.
Yeah, no, I could never have. I don't have the time to do that. Since 4 or 5 years ago, when I started to put up stuff, it immediately goes out to torrent sites and Russian servers and so on. So I could never start doing that.
What do you think about C-punk fashion?
I haven't heard enough to have a good opinion, to be honest. I've heard a few tracks. I didn't really sort of got into it, and So I don't know.
Okay.
What are your opinions about it?
Well, C-Punk is more, I don't really think that's more 90s influence than 80s influence, but they use Sonic the Hedgehog and all that.
Mm.
It's up and coming, and it's also having its own Tumblr fashion scene where it's like blue hair, certain tiles of clothes, a certain way of doing, as if it's a fashion based upon internet memes and jokes, and then it becomes a lifestyle. I think it's really interesting.
Yeah.
Like a spin-off of Vaporwave.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's sort of a parallel or subgenre. That was what I understood, like very pastel-colored sort of 90s stuff. That's, yeah. Yeah, but sure. Interesting, but I didn't really caught my interest, to be honest.
We are at the end of the show. Robert, mm-hmm. Do you want to plug your next album one more time in your next event?
Yeah, just to just talk about it, you mean, or just mention it? Or
just maybe, yeah, you can just mention it.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, I didn't understand the word. So, yeah. Yeah, sure. My next event will actually be in China. I will play in Beijing March 3rd, and I will play in Shanghai March 4th. I will actually play with Waveshaper in Shanghai. It will be at the Data Bar, sort of an electro club. I think Skrillex played there last year. And then March 18, Waveshaper and I will play with the college in Stockholm at the club Neon. And my next album, Awakening, is out at the Laserdisc Records February 17.
Robert Parker, it's been an excellent show. I'm a big fan of your work. Thank you for being on.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
And also, thanks, Pilliter.
Nice talking to you, Robert.
Nice. The same. A pleasure. Anytime.